Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Bob Thibodeau with the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast, and you are listening to Life Transformation Radio with my good friend Sean Douglas. Be sure to subscribe to his podcast so you will not miss any of the upcoming episodes, and be blessed in all that you do.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I'm your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, business positioning strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 66 countries, such as the United States, Sweden, Australia, New Zealand, China, the UK, and, of course, Canada and the United States. I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that has changed our lives and how we use this to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. Now, you can listen to us live right here on Blog Talk Radio Network at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community. Please subscribe, rate, and review the show wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts, such as on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, and we're on the Google Play Music app. So on the show, I bring on entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, podcasters, and authors who are amazing at what they do and are impacting the world around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any questions for any of my guests during our live broadcast, you can call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, the number, if you want to ask our guest a question or myself a question, please call us up at 657-383-1109 during our live show. Please help me welcome to the show my friend, Jim Phillips. What's up, my friend?
Hey, Sean, how are you today?
I'm doing amazing, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, as we were talking about earlier, just trying to keep warm. East Coast is freezing.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I have, some family in Michigan. I'm from Michigan, and they were saying that it is, like, ridiculous right now. Holy crap, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I heard it was going to be like minus 30, minus 40.
Yeah, they said the coldest day in Chicago, or actually the coldest day ever on the planet, I guess. Like particularly this particular day, it will be the coldest anywhere on Earth.
Wow.
Like in Chicago, like negative 40 or 45 or something like that. I'm like, I'm not saying it's the coldest in history, but they say that today, the coldest that it will get anywhere is in Chicago. I'm like, that's just ridiculous. That's crazy.
And that's a record. That's a record I am happy to let Chicago have. I do not participate in that.
Right? That's why I live in North Carolina. I mean, among other reasons, but that's why I live in North Carolina. And in 2 years, I will be moving to San Antonio, Texas, and I will never have to experience that ever again.
Yeah, that's nice.
So, the topic of discussion today, the name of the episode, is Living in Full Expression with Jim Phillips. Jim is a life strategist, author, speaker, and business coach. For over 30 years, he has been inspiring others to higher levels of achievement and understanding through his strategy sessions, coaching, writing, and presentations. His passion is the exploration and application of spiritual law as it applies to prosperity and overall quality of life. One of Jim's gifts is his ability to help others understand and apply complex spiritual concepts to their personal life, which has resulted in their creating and experiencing more of who they truly are and what they desire from life. At the age of 13, Jim had a profound experience that confirmed he had a very specific message to share about our connection to the divine and our divinity. This message was to be shared when the time was right, and that time is now. Never has there been a time in the history of humanity where there was a greater need to understand who we are and why we are here. Never has there been a time in the history of humanity when there have been more people open and receptive to this message. Jim was born in Buffalo, New York. However, he lived the majority of his childhood years in Virginia. He graduated from James Madison University with a degree in business administration and management. Jim currently resides in Ely, Virginia, where he continues his writing, coaching, and speaking. If you want to know more about Jim, I ask you to go to www.livinginfullexpression.com. Livinginfullexpression.com. He's also on Facebook, facebook.com/author Jim Phillips with two L's. He's also on LinkedIn, and you can search other social medias at Inspired and the number 10, at Inspired and the number 10. So in the show notes, click on the links and learn more about Jim. So, Jim, my first question for you is, what is your why? Why is it that you do what you do?
I always find that to be an interesting question, and I have listened to some of your other shows, and I was interested and curious how other people answer that question as well. My why, quite frankly, maybe it's because of this point in my life, why is really the joy and the unbelievable feeling I get when I see somebody's eyes light up when it appears as though they've had an aha, or they realize they've connected to themselves in a way that they never did. So I do what I do because of that experience, not only for me, but for other people. And of course, along the way, the big why, because as I am working with other people through the life strategy work that I do, or the writing and speaking that I do, everything that comes through, every bit of information that I get is always initially for me. And I know that I have to apply whatever information I get to my own life first, so that when I share it with others, it's coming from an experiential perspective, as opposed to it just being some kind of rhetoric that I might be passing along to other people. So really, that's my why. It's about my continuously understanding and applying what I come to realize about myself that can be applied towards, I believe, everybody's lives. But my purpose isn't in getting other people to change. It's just, I guess, serving as an example to other people of perhaps what is possible if they see what I do and they resonate with what I do, yeah, or who I am or how I present in the world.
Oh, I like that. So you're more of like an action-based, right? Like, don't exactly listen to what I say, but really, like what I do, like really listen to what I do.
But it's actually not. It's not actually what I do, because what I do is what I do, which serves me. It's me. It's me doing those things that maybe I'm called to do. Maybe I resonate with. Maybe it's my passion. But it's more who am I, or who am I being, or how am I being during the process of doing whatever it is that I do.
I got you. Okay, yeah. I fully understand now. That's awesome. And I'm sure it's unique, because from what I know about you, you're very passionate and very energetic and very like a go-getter about what it is that you do.
Yeah, if you the name of this show is called Living in Full Expression. My work essentially is that. It's about living in full expression. The word life, right, is the acronym for living in full expression. So I fully believe that that's what we're here to do. We're to live in full expression of the truth of who we are. The question that obviously begs, though, is what is the truth? Or for any individual that's out there, what is their truth? And that's for each of us to figure out. That's what the whole purpose of life is. In fact, I have a definition that I've put towards what is, or an answer to what is the purpose of life. And this is not what is our purpose, okay, but what is the purpose for any of us being here? And sure, for me, it's the progressive realization of the truth.
Huh. A progressive realization of the, okay.
And that just means that every event, every experience we have, every decision we make, every action we take is a part of that progressive realization, because all of those things give us a new experience, and each experience gives us the opportunity to reveal to ourselves more of our truth. And the truth, you know, the truth being, who am I?
Yes. Oh, 100%. People ask that question all the time. One of the foundational questions that everybody starts, like, well, before you start with your purpose, you know, who am I? Who are you? You know,
right.
And then, you know, look deep and down, look deep inside yourself and, you know, all that. And I totally get that. But, you know, sometimes it's hard. Yeah, I reevaluate myself a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I ask, I'm like, am I on the right path? Is this what I'm doing? Well, I'm super passionate about it. I mm-hmm. love doing it. Am I doing it for the right reasons? You know, who am I at my core? I got a friend named Tim Rode, and shout out to Tim Rode. He is the founder of the One Life Fully Lived nonprofit, 501c3. And One Life Fully Lived, the core teaching is, who am I at my core? You know, who am I? You know, I'm this person, but really at your core, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
And it goes
mm-hmm.
super deep on it. And I love that you asked that question. Who am I?
Yeah, and I think the whole point with that is, and you were correct in what you were saying, Sean, it is difficult. And even when someone gets to the point where they accept that they're not what they see in the mirror, that I'm not this mm-hmm. physical body, I'm not my job, I'm not any of the material things that I have, I'm not my house, right. my car, my relationships, any of the labels we put on ourselves, but I am that which is looking from my through my eyes and seeing and experiencing whatever is happening. So that entity is who we truly are. And if you strip away everything else, what remains? And that is the hard part for all of us to accept, because everything about life is physical. We see ourselves.
Right.
We have people tell us who we are, what we should do, what we look like, pretty much everything. And it's a recognition. It's more or less, as I'm saying this, I'm motioning with my hands. It's like stepping back and stepping out of your body and recognizing that whatever it is that stepped out of your body is truly who you are. And that is, to me, it's an experience, or it is the divine experience in expressing itself through us and as us.
So, well, I love that, by the way, taking a step back. Because, like I said, I reevaluate myself
mm-hmm.
all the time. Right? I reevaluate myself. And what I like about it is that things that I identified with, I don't really identify with anymore. Things that I'll go, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, this is my identity, and this is who I am, and this is how, you know, tend to fall away as you go from chapter to chapter and person to person, you
mm-hmm.
know, and season of life to season of life. And I'm curious why you say divinity or the divine, or are you talking about, like, God, Jesus, religion itself, or are you talking about a different spiritual being, higher power, whatever it is that you believe in, type of divinity, divine, or like your inner spirit?
Wow, that was a lot. The answer I will give without trying to offend anybody or cause any issues, this is one man's perspective of life, and that is
sure.
that if a person wants to use the word God, that's fine. I use the word God, spirit, life, the universe, all of those interchangeable.
Mm-hmm.
But they have nothing to do with religion. They have to do with who we are in terms of our divine essence. So my experience has been, and my belief is, that all of us are expressions of the divine, meaning that we are the divine in human clothing. And it is the divine, God, spirit, the universe, whatever you want to call the entity, the mm-hmm. the all that is, the great creative force, that entity is experiencing and expressing itself through us and through our physical form. An interesting perspective on that is so many people, and I add myself to this, although I've shifted from it a little bit, and that is that we always try to become a better version of ourselves. And typically when we hear that, people will say, well, I'm trying to become a better version of this human that's standing here. And that's where we get into trouble, because if we are, in fact, an expression of the divine in human clothing, we are already all that we can be. We're and again, whatever term you want to use for whatever that divine entity is, we're already that. So really, life is about allowing that which we are to be the experience and expression through us in physical form. It's not about becoming a better human or becoming better in my physical form. It's about getting out of the way and allowing the divine to experience and express itself through us and as us. And that's where, when we let go of all the attachments, let go of the labels that we have, let go of the limiting beliefs and the thought processes and the dogma and everything else that we allow to rule our lives, and we understand that life becomes, I'm going to say it becomes easier, but it doesn't become less difficult, because we're going to have challenging opportunities in life, which give us the opportunity to truly see how powerful we are. And once we allow that entity within us to be the one taking charge, we're going to see that there absolutely is nothing that life will put before us that we can't move through. And then as we move through it, we serve as an example to others of who they are and what they're capable of doing.
Oh, I like that. So not only is it your belief, your principles and values and everything, but you are the example for other people.
Correct.
I like that. I like that a lot.
But keep in mind, we're the example for each other, regardless of what we do. Because you can have somebody that's out there that's a total, whatever you want to call them, I mean, a total jerk, and they're still serving as an example, because somebody may look at that person and say, well, I'm never going to do that. I don't want to be that way. So that's another example. That will give us an opportunity to make a decision on how we want to express in the world. We can also see somebody like a Mother Teresa or a Martin Luther King or anybody who we hold in high esteem. We can always say, okay, well, there's another example. I do want to emulate that person. I do want to have those same characteristics and quality. I want to have integrity. I want to have truth. I want to be a loving, kind, compassionate person.
You know, I wonder if people saying that is why society ebbs and flows the way it does. You know, you always get mad at your parents when you're kids. You're like, I'm never going to parent my children like that, you know? And then you actually parent your children how you want to parent, and then they turn out a certain way. It's like, man, I wonder what happened if I parented the way that my parents parented, which again can be bad, because if you had abusive parents and then you father or mother, you know, if you parent your children the same abusive way as they, you know, if you were a high school dropout because they were a high school dropout because their grandparents were high school, like it's, you know, it's hard to find examples to know what the right thing to do in life is. You know, I barely grew up without a father, you know, every other weekend, my mom and dad divorced every other weekend, 2 weeks out of the year type of thing. And even then every other weekend was maybe, well, can't this weekend because of this, or, you know, so, I mean, I grew up in an abusive household. My household isn't abusive, but I'm also still married to my wife, and I try to follow examples that I think are going to be set. But I mean, really, do we know what example we should be following?
Well, that's where the whole idea of free choice comes in. Now, of course, when you're young and impressionable, and if you live in a house that is abusive, or even if somebody smokes in the house, I mean, it's the same kind of thing, or drinks, it's any kind of behavior we can look at and say that would be detrimental to my overall well-being. There's always a point at which we can make a decision on how we're going to live our lives. And I guess it depends upon the severity of the environment, if it's abuse that we're talking about. And yet, I will also say that there are plenty of people who grew up in a severely abusive environment at home that made the decision, that's not the way my life's going to be. So they make that change. They raise their kids in what would be determined a proper way. So I don't know what we can say is what is the determining factor that would cause somebody to go one way or the other. Other than on some level, there is some some level of understanding about what is true and what is not true. And then I think, you know, we talk about all the time about the overall most beneficial, most powerful energy ever is the power of love. So we could say that was within that person, and that love that is within them is what took over and caused that person to make that decision to not live the life of abuse or to engage in abusive relationships.
Yeah, because, you know, people pair, you know, differently. You know, I try to have my kids understand things like video games and phones and like what it means to have this connectivity, or like you don't need to, you know, play 8 hours a day on video games. Like there's other things to do because sunlight's good for you and outdoors. And but then I know other families that are like, oh no, our kids do not have phones and there's no video games allowed in this house. And, you know, then families are raised in polygamy, you know, or right. Some families are raised in, you know, other ways that maybe we don't agree with out, you know, but maybe it's part of their religion. And so that's what I was kind of asking, you know, or really, you know, having a conversation about the way, and you're right, free choice, definitely free choice has, you know, is what people do all the time.
All right, well, let me take it a level deeper.
Sure, and, let's do this.
And this will challenge perhaps a lot of what people believe. But the question that I have asked many, many times is, here I was born in Buffalo, New York. I'm white. I'm middle class. I have had, in all accounts, a good life. I've never had any horrific experience. Yes, there's been issues. I've had relationship challenges. I am divorced. But those are, I mean, unfortunately, those tend to be normal courses of action in society today. But the question would be, why was I, Jim Phillips, born in the United States, into a country where we can pretty much do whatever we want, into a family that was loving and that provided for me? Things weren't always easy, but I was always provided for, got to go to college. And then why is somebody else born in a country like Somalia, where they're constantly engaged in civil war and conflict? You know, why is that? And the answer that I always get, and when I say get, I put these answers out to the universe or to God, and I get answers back almost immediately. And I don't say that to suggest that I have some power that nobody else does. It works that way for everybody. You just have to be willing to ask the questions and then receive the answer.
Mm.
So the question that would always come back, though, is that every soul that's incarnated into physical form is born into the perfect conditions at the perfect time for what their soul desires to experience in that lifetime. So we can look at somebody who's born into an abusive family, and we can't answer that question. What is it about that soul that they wanted to gain from being in that experience of being in an abusive family? Could it be that they are to have had the experience and then maybe they become somebody who speaks out against it, become somebody who works in some job or career or writes a book or does something that would help other people who are in that same situation get out of it? And I don't know. And then you can look at, you know, why somebody born into a civil war situation, or why somebody born in whatever, why are they born where they're born?
Yep.
And the answer, as I said, I always get is that everybody is born into the perfect circumstances for whatever their soul is here to experience. And so you have to look at that and then try to figure, okay, well, that's that person's reality. This is my reality. And being in my reality, I am the authority in it. I'm the one who can make any choice I want at any point in time. Yes, other people can influence me by what they say about me or what their opinion might be. But the ultimate decision always comes down to me, using myself as the example, as it comes down to anybody. So we have to understand that we're always at that point of choice, and we can change our lives in an instant with whatever choices we make.
Oh, 100% believe that. Absolutely. You know, I always say that thoughts, feelings, and beliefs drive all reactions and all of your decisions. How you think, feel, and believe about the world, and how you think, feel, and believe about yourself really determines the decisions that you make on a daily basis. And we see it so much right now. You know, either it's like we're so divided on certain things, and so many times we're influenced in these ways. You know, I always think about, you know, everybody love everybody. In the end, right? Everybody love everybody. That's what I think. Like, you can be divided on who you want to be president. You can divide on who you want to be going to church with. You can divide, you know, whatever. But in the end, you can believe whatever you want. Just everybody love everybody. That's just
right. Right. And that, no, and I agree that would, well, for me, that is the purpose for us being here, to get to that place where everybody understands that, where there isn't any judgment.
Yeah.
There's just, you know, why should we really care what somebody else believes from a religious standpoint? Why does it matter to me somebody else's beliefs? As long as they're not trying to impose it upon me, or it doesn't cause me harm or harm to my family, whatever. Why do I care?
Yep.
And I don't.
100%, but people do. They judge all the time.
Correct. But society, for whatever reason, continues to perpetuate that. And the fear-mongering and all this other stuff that goes on, it's just unnecessary. But I will tell you that my belief right now, then I want to get back to your whole thing about thought, beliefs, and feelings, because I do agree with that. I have a little bit of an extension to put on that. But I think that all the things we're seeing in this, I think all the things we're seeing in the world right now, and I'm going to say, and more specifically, because I live in the United States, the stuff we're seeing here as well, it's a purging. It's getting all of that crap to the surface where it can be exposed and dealt with, so that we can get to a place where people do start to work together, to love one another, to be non-judgmental, to be more compassionate. But the unfortunate thing is, we got to go through the ugly to get to the beauty, because of all that's been put in place up to this moment. It's got to be removed, and it's being exposed. And this is regardless of what beliefs anybody has about politics or anything else. It's just, if you look across the planet, there's just stuff happening all over the place.
Oh, 100%. I'll keep going.
I don't know. I was just going to say, I wanted to get to your comment about thoughts, beliefs, and feelings. I totally agree with that. I have a little bit more to add to that, because I look at everything. Everything starts with a thought, and anytime we have a thought, it brings the object of the thought into potential, and we bring whatever that object of the thought is in pure potential into being by believing in it, by believing that it's possible. So all of that is a part of the creation process. So I look at, if we have thoughts, we have beliefs, from that we make our choices, and from the choices we make, we take action. And then from the action we take, we end up with an experience. Now, the interesting thing is, we can choose whatever we want, but what we don't choose is the consequence of our choice. However, if we hold thoughts, if we hold beliefs, if we make choices in alignment with whatever it is we truly want to experience, or whatever it is we're trying to create, or whoever it is we're trying to be, if we make choices in alignment with that and then take actions in alignment with that, then our consequences, which are going to be the experience we have, are going to be more of that which we're trying to create. There has to be that alignment. And I think that's the biggest issue for most people. Number one, most people are not clear on really who they are, what they want to be, or what they want to create experience in the world. And when you don't know that, how do you know what you want to make?
Very true. Yep. 100% very true. Do you talk about this on stage?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
What's the response?
I've had some very interesting experiences where people have challenged me and gotten really angry.
Oh, no.
But I just look at that as part of the process.
You know, I've noticed that there's very few topics, very few, that people dig their heels into the ground, and you cannot and will not change their mind at all. And one of those is spirituality, not religion, just spirituality.
Yeah.
And religion, and you know, like abortion, and maybe I can think of like one other thing. But other than that, other than those things, people are pretty open. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're like, well, I believe this. Like, wow. Like, why do you believe that? But for some reason, when you bring up like divine, divinity, spirituality, religion, God, like you get into those realms, people are really dug in. So that's why I ask you, like, what kind of response do you get? Because I could just imagine. And so there's certain topics that I just choose not to talk about, you know, on stage, that being one of them. But for that reason, I can only imagine, because I've never dealt with it, but I can just only imagine people challenging you and what happens during those moments, you know?
It's interesting, and it does become difficult at sometimes because you have to be able to think on your feet pretty quickly, and it's always about trying not to offend somebody because whatever their beliefs are, and as you said, they're dug in. I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything. I'm merely answering questions based on what I understand, what my experiences have been, and what I believe to be true. Now, I will also say this. At any point in time, somebody can tell me something that can cause me to change what I believe because it resonates with me more. So I'm not dug in on what I believe, but I will hold true to it until I find something or see something or experiencing something that causes me to believe that this new information or this new way of looking at things is more of the truth.
Yes. I'm the same exact way. You're open-minded, right? I mean, you got to be open-minded.
Right.
You know, there are some things like, for example, like I'm dug in on how I feel about abortions.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm also not one way or the other on who becomes president, as long as he's not like, I don't know, like Al Capone, you know what I mean? Like, as long as, like, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not dug in either. Like, there are some, like I said, there's some things that people are just like, they're dug in on this thing, you know? And I'm like you, you know, there are topics where I'm like, well, convince me otherwise. And if somebody gave science facts, showed me like, look, the grass is green and it is not a certain shade of green. It's just scientifically, and this is the properties and this is why it is. And like, oh, perfect. I like it. Like I found that there are some people that literally believe that the earth is flat and you cannot convince them otherwise. I've also met people that believe that the moon landing was fake.
Right.
That there's no way that, you know, and so there's people that believe these. I'm like, well, I can show you otherwise because of the pictures and the videos and the time that, you know, like, oh no, this is all. I'm like, I wonder if there's a scientific approach to believing these certain things. So yeah, that's why I ask. I'm just amazed at what people believe and how they think, feel, and believe.
Right.
Like, wow, you believe that? They're like, oh yeah, I do. Oh yeah. And they're pretty convinced. And so I ask you, what is a transformational moment that has put you on the path to what you're doing now and how you think, feel, and believe?
Well, I'll answer that by starting with this. And this is something that I truly believe, and I do get pushback on this, and not because of it being about religion or spirituality or anything else. But when someone says, and you sort of phrased your question to me like this, when did I get on this spiritual path? There isn't any path that any of us are on other than the life path we're on. You don't all of a sudden turn left to go on a spiritual path. That is still an integral part of your overall life path. What we do is we might veer off from the way we were living life, but it's still our life's path. It doesn't change. It's not like we all of a sudden stop and then we're reborn and start over again. Now, we could say from one incarnation to the next, that's a different life path, because it is. It's a different incarnation with whatever that particular. So if someone says that I began my spiritual path when I was 35 years old because of this, it wasn't that they started their spiritual path. It's that they became more aware of spirituality and who they are while on their life path. That's just the signpost they happen to be at that particular point in time.
Gotcha.
So
a life path more than a spiritual path.
Right. Because everything that happens in your life is a part of your life path. It doesn't, you know, someone can have a spiritual awakening and all of a sudden become more aware of who they are, or maybe become more aware of their connection to the divine, or the fact the divine is working through them. All of that can be said, and most people will refer to that as their life path beginning, so to speak. Mm. But it's really just the awareness along their life's path of that, whatever that information was, of being a spiritual being, of now working as hard as they possibly can to live life as a spiritual being, letting go of all the trappings of being human and allowing the entity that is us to be experienced and expressed through us.
I accept that.
I
never really thought that way. You know, I thought I was on a spiritual journey. I thought I was on the journey of life, but I never really put a name to it. You know what I mean? Like my life plan, my life journey.
Right. Well, let me ask you a question. You've no doubt heard the phrase that we are spiritual beings having a human experience.
100%.
Right?
I've heard that many times.
Okay. So if you're a spiritual being and you're here living, wouldn't that whole thing be your spiritual journey?
Again, I think that there's a life journey happening by a spiritual person. So I'm not sure. But everything that I know about spirituality is inside. It's your inside journey that's happening for you and with you.
Right. Right. But if you are a spiritual being, how could you have anything other than a spiritual journey?
Because I'm... How can I have anything more than a spiritual journey? Because if I'm already on the journey.
Right. You are a spiritual being and you're on your journey, which is a spiritual journey. It's the journey of you as a spirit in human form. Now, I'll pull up a biblical reference, and that was when Jesus was talking and he said that these things that I do are not done by me, they are done through me. Right? That's referring to God the divine as doing whatever is happening through that physical body that was Jesus. And the same thing is for all of us. It's that same entity working through all of us. And as us. I'll just say as us too, because the physical body is not who we are.
One thing I know and one thing I believe.
It gets a little convoluted because of the different ideas that we have in society and that have been perpetuated. But I think when people can learn to detach from it a little bit, it begins to make a little more sense.
Oh, 100%. You know, I'm resonating and I'm fully in understanding exactly what you're saying because of what I believe is that 1 John 4:4 says that he is greater in you than he who is in the world. If God was just in the world, then, you know, he can make all the diseases disappear if he wanted to. You know, he can make us have no evil, no murder, no abortion, no whatever, you know, whatever's in the gospel, right? Instead, he is in us, and so he works through us, for us. But sometimes people are not in tune with their spirituality. They're not in tune with their spiritual being. And so they, you know, commit murder or, you know, violate laws, whether it be physical laws or God's laws or whatever. But I firmly believe that, you know, that he knows our divine plan for us because it was already, you know, we were knitted in the womb and we're intentionally and wonderfully made. But I firmly believe that there is a spiritual being, whether it be, you know, God, Yahweh, whatever you want to call him, that there is somebody in us, whether it be our spiritual body from prior to flesh or something guiding our steps. I firmly believe that. Whether it be the universe, if you want to call it the universe, or God, or, you know, whoever.
Yeah, another way to look at it is just look at that as consciousness.
Okay.
And consciousness is what creates everything. And one of the chapters in my book, and I'll share a funny story with you in a second. One of the chapters in my book talks about how we create miracles, and we all create miracles on an ongoing basis. And I look at miracles as being an act of creation. And a miracle is created when the conditions are such. Now, what that means is, let's just take an example of a flower. A flower will grow from a seed
when the conditions for the flower to fully bloom, the right amount of rain, right amount of soil, right amount of nutrients coming in, right amount of sunlight, right amount of everything. It wasn't perfect. The flower couldn't grow. And everything that is in existence is perfect, because if it wasn't perfect, it couldn't exist. And this, see, we put judgment on that. You can look at your lawn. Let's say you have a gorgeous lawn and it's well manicured and the grass is green and all of that. And all of a sudden a dandelion shoots up. Well, we judge that as saying now you don't have a perfect lawn because you have a dandelion in it. Well, the truth is that dandelion is in itself perfect because it's a perfect dandelion. And the conditions for it to grow are perfect, or it wouldn't have grown in your yard the way that it did. Now, you might not like it, but it doesn't mean it's not perfect. It just means it's not what you want, and it's not within your definition of perfection as it applies to your yard.
Especially in the eyes of a four-year-old.
Yeah. Well, right? Four-year-olds love it because they go pick them and blow them, and the little fairy things fly off.
Right. Right? Can I cite a scientific study about what you're talking about?
Sure.
In 1991, in Oracle, Arizona, they built the biosphere. It was the largest biosphere ever created to date. And it was over 4 acres. It had like an 11,000-foot ocean in it. Like, it was amazing. They grew everything perfect. There were no weeds, because they made sure that there was no weeds. Everything was grown on steroids, Miracle-Gro, whatever you want to call it. The air was perfect. There was no wind. And so they grew trees the highest that they'd ever grown. And they made sure that all this happened because of the environment that they created. What they found out was that because there was no wind, because everything was grown perfectly, because there was no stress on the environment, that everything was superficial. They pushed the trees over with very little effort because the roots didn't grow deep enough because there was no wind. That spiritual study cites exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, this is the biosphere. Like this everything that you're talking about relates back to that biosphere right now.
Right.
You know, because we thought was perfect was actually not perfect.
And it was also man-made.
100%. Because it was man-made. Because man thought this was perfect, they found a lot of flaws. That's why they say bees are not supposed to fly. Like, how is this? Like, how is that supposed to happen? Bees cannot fly. But guess what? Bees are created perfectly because they can fly. And so you look at this biosphere study and said, how is this possible that the roots should grow super deep? Like, how is this possible that this tree is growing super huge on the surface, but underneath it is flawed? And so we look at all of the stress and anxiety and the depression and everything that we face every day is stressful. And what is it doing? It's strengthening our roots within.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and another analogy would be if we look at the redwood forest out on the West Coast, and this was something I actually just heard about recently, that redwood trees – actually, the way that they grow so tall and stand so firm is because their roots become intertwined, so that each redwood tree is actually a support system to every other redwood tree. So why is it those trees do that where trees out on the East Coast might not? Because the conditions have to be perfect for a redwood tree to grow out on the West Coast based on whatever the weather conditions are and the wind and the water and the soil and everything else.
Interesting. I was instantly getting a thought of community. That particular brand or that particular species or whatever you want to call it intertwines itself for survival. And speaking of, you know, anyway, survival and for whatever reason. But what just made me think of that was I was told a long time ago that there are three things that humans or any species – I'm going to mess this up, but it has to have, or it lives for, or its purpose, or whatever.
Right.
And those three things are, it's like the human brain or whatever, is survival, reproduction, and I'm trying to think of the other one, but I just literally cannot think of it. But we're wired for survival. We're wired to reproduce, and so are plants and trees and animals. And I literally cannot think of the third one. But anyway, survival and reproduction for sure. But maybe that's why. Maybe they're wired together for reproduction, so that other trees can grow around those existing trees, kind of like parents or whatever. And maybe for survival, so that if something was to come and knock one out, it strengthens its roots deep enough to where it can't be knocked out easily.
Yeah, we can look at nature for tons of examples of why things, why they are the way they are, but how they're showing us, things in nature show us what we could be doing as humans to create better lives, to have better experiences, to have better relationships. Think about, and this more or less gets back to your tree example, think about a tree that stands by itself. If a wind comes over, it's more susceptible to it. It could be blown over, whatever could happen to it. But if a same wind goes through a forest, it doesn't take down the whole forest because all of the trees are benefiting the other trees because it acts as a buffer, or it dissipates the wind, disperses the wind, so it's not as strong a force coming through it. I mean, whatever happens, I'm not sure, but I think that's just another example of the way it works.
Yeah, some houses are surrounded by trees and it deadens the wind.
Right.
You know? Yep, 100%. So knowing everything that we know and the path that you've taken, which I'm going to call you out, you really kind of haven't, I think you kind of haven't really told us a transformational moment. And I'm waiting for that funny story in your book too. I kind of want to know the funny story now.
Well, the funny story actually happened 2 weeks ago because I was at the premiere. I was at the premiere of the movie that I'm in, and I was given a presentation the day after the premiere. And some of the folks that were in the audience were drinking wine. It was just kind of a loose thing, but I was just talking about a lot of things we're talking about right now. And this woman raised her hand and she said, I kind of get what you're talking about. She said, maybe it's the wine, but she said, I really think I'm understanding what you're saying. But she said, I have a question for you. And I said, okay. And she said, what do you believe came first, the chicken or the egg?
Oh, boy.
And I kind of looked at it, and I remember putting my head down and just kind of shaking, and I was laughing. It was like, you got to be kidding me. In front of a group of people, you're going to ask me the question that's never been answered? And I gave her an answer, and I'll give you that answer in a second. But the day after, I came up with the perfect answer. At least to me, it's the perfect answer, and it's a very funny answer. Okay. So the question of what came first, the chicken or the egg – my answer from now on is going to be, it depends upon whether God was looking for breakfast or dinner.
Yes. Oh, God, yes. Oh, my gosh, that's hilarious.
Yes, that to me now is the perfect answer.
That is the perfect answer because you never really answer it and you just dodge the question in a funny way. 100%.
Yeah.
Well, for me, it says that on this day, you know, he created the water, the ocean, the clouds, the rain, the, you know, whatever. He created animals. He didn't say, I created animals and its eggs.
Right.
He didn't say, I created eggs and then they were hatched.
Right.
He said, I created animals. So for me, it's the chicken. And I think the whole point of the question, because I honestly couldn't tell you, you know, one or two, but I think and I feel – and I believe that the question that is being asked is of chicken is religion and egg is evolution. I think that's where they were. I don't know, but I think that's where they're going with the question.
Yeah. Could be.
Yeah. I don't know. Where did it come from? You know what I mean? It's kind of like, is your half full, half empty? Is your glass? It's all mindset.
And the answer to that question though is yes. If your glass is your glass half empty or half full? Yes. Because both are right.
Both. Right. Right.
Yeah. That comes to perspective.
Yeah. So for those listening right now, I am loving this conversation, by the way. I am absolutely loving this conversation. If you are too, I'd love to get your thought. Dial in 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. My team is standing by to field the calls because sometimes we get really, really weirdo phone calls. And so my team is standing by to field those calls And if you have a legitimate question, you get through and ask Jim or myself the question, chicken or the egg? So I'm curious how you use what we know now about you and the path that you're on. How do you elevate the lives around you and empower everybody that you meet?
Well, it gets back to what I was talking about a little while ago. And for me, it's always another chapter in my book is called It's All About Me. And of course, most of us have been raised that we are our brother's keeper and we're responsible for everybody else. Well, as we all know, we can't be responsible for other people if we're not taking care of ourselves. But if I am always looking to better understand my truth, and I'm always living from my truth, by doing that, I should be moving closer and closer to the truth, whatever that ultimate truth is. And as long as I'm continuing to live my life in that way, as I said earlier, I or all of us serve as an example to others of what is possible. And I always believe that if we're moving closer and closer towards the truth by living our truth, we're always going to be living, I don't want to say a virtuous life, because I think that so much about life is about us having these certain experiences and then coming to the realization of who we are and whether or not something we did was beneficial or not. Although I will contradict that and say that regardless of what happens to us, it is always beneficial because it gives us another experience and another point of view and another opportunity to choose differently. So everything is about this whole experience or journey that we call life. And again, to me, the realization of our truth.
I like it.
So I guess to answer your question, I'm not trying to not answer your question. I think the way that I benefit other people is sharing my own experiences, sharing what I believe, but making sure people understand it's what I believe. I'm not telling somebody this is the way that it is. But I am saying maybe there's some things that I've experienced, some things to share with you, some information I might have that can cause you to change your perspective that allows you to now live the life that you truly desire to live and to be the person you want to be.
Oh, I love that. You know, I was always, up until I would say probably 2014, and maybe before that, I know for 100% prior to 2009, I was a very opinionated person and I'd push, not that I believed things, but I would push my opinions on people. They would say, you know, I was dating this girl and she cheated on me. I'm like, oh my God, it's gotta be this way. Oh my God. Like I would dump her. And so unsolicited advice, like all the time. And that's why I just stayed away from social media for so long. I didn't have a MySpace. I really didn't even have Facebook until a couple of years ago, you know, because I was like, man, I'm going to piss the world off by my opinion, you know. And nobody had to ask my opinion. That's the funny thing. Nobody ever asked my opinion. I just gave it. I was that guy. You know, like, well, I'm starting to think about, you know, buying me a house. I'm like, oh, man, the upkeep and how much is your insurance going to be? And, like, I wasn't always, like, the negative way, but, yep, I definitely gave my gave my opinion. You know, and I would tell people, like, well, that's wrong. Like, that's wrong of you to think that way. You know, that I wouldn't think that way. You know, now I'm more of a, hey, man, you do what you got to do. Like, you believe what you believe, and you know, you love what you love, and you do what you do, and as long as you're happy, you know. And I've started to become a happier person that way. You know, and, you know, meditation and mindfulness practices help. Because I really want to get in tune spiritually with who I am. You know, and, you know, like you said before, people have spiritual awakenings. You know, I was born Roman Catholic, so a lot of my teachings and what I believe came from that, from my grandparents who were strict, Bible-fearing, God-fearing, Bible-based Roman Catholic, you know, and, you know, my grandma was very, very sad when I told her that that I'm not going to be Catholic. I'm not going to, you know, do those things or whatever. And she says, oh, but that's how you were raised and that's what you believe. I said, Grandma, I found God. when I left religion. Oh, man, did I break her heart.
Yeah.
I literally broke my grandmother's heart when I said that. My mom was like, you need to apologize.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time ever, I was like, you know what? It is what I believe. I'm not influenced by anybody or anything. I want to be that person that's very in tune with their spirituality. That's who I want to be.
Right. To me, that's a huge part. Well, not a huge part. It is the reason for us being here, and that's to get to our truth and for us to understand who we are, what we're all about, what we're here to experience, and how we benefit other people in that whole process. The whole idea of religion is man-made. Nobody said, hey, let's have religion. Christianity, Jesus didn't say, I'm going to create a religion called Christianity. He was here speaking what he was speaking, and then those who followed said, this is Christianity. And, you know, which ultimately became what the Roman Catholics believed. And there's so much information that people who are dug in religiously refuse to look at, that contradicts a lot of what religion says. And I'm not saying it's not true, but it contradicts a lot of what religion says and how people should be. And it's information. And I think we should all be able to do what we want with whatever mission we have. And then whatever experience we have as a result of that. And if the experience doesn't work for us, we can still choose to do something different or have different thoughts, look for different beliefs. Constantly evolving into a greater understanding of this whole reason for being here.
Yep, 100%. I like it. I like the conversation. You know, Jim, I like you just that much more now. I thought you were a really good dude, and now, I just feel like, you know, like you're the type of person that I could talk about this stuff with and not feel judged and have a legitimate conversation and come up the other side better educated and better connected. So I want to thank you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that because that's always my intention. It really is about just sharing what I've experienced, as I said, and then people can do with it what they want. And anyway, my opinion of you shouldn't affect who you are, because my opinion would just be my opinion based on my own filters and my own whatever beliefs that I hold. And the only opinion that truly matters is your opinion. What do you think about yourself? What do you believe about yourself? What is your relationship with yourself?
Right. Oh, 100%. Man, that could be a whole show about, you know, I mean, it really comes down to self-love, I would think. But at the same time, what do you think about yourself? What do you value about yourself? Some people don't even value themselves, let alone anything else.
Right. Well, that's the whole basis for limiting beliefs that we have, not being worthy enough, not being capable, not being whatever anybody wants to put after, I can't do this because. Those are all limiting beliefs based on either some programming, some experience they had one point in time, or the way they're perceiving life, looking at other people.
Yeah, 100%. So we've got about a minute and a half. What I want to do right now is take the next 40 seconds to plug you. So give us, you know, websites, ways to get a hold of you, what you can do for people. Go ahead.
The website's livinginfullexpression.com, and on there you can find a lot of information, a lot of downloads, things of that nature. You can also connect with me through that. You can schedule a life strategy session with me where we talk about a lot of what we've talked about just now, but more specifically about limiting beliefs that somebody might have. You can reach me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/authorJimPhillips. And then on LinkedIn, it's linkedin.com/inJimPhillips01. And
perfect.
I write a lot of blog posts and things like that, so people can get a lot of my information and what I believe through that. And of course, my book is available on Amazon. The name of the book is The Key to Life, Living in Full Expression. And then the movie that I'm in that was just released is called Becoming the Keys. And that also stars Dr. Joe Vitale, Danyon Brinkley, Don Miguel Ruiz, and a whole host of other just extraordinary people that have had experiences that I think would blow a lot of people away. And the movie right now, I have CDs, so somebody would have to come directly to me to get the movie. It will be streamed at some point on Gaia. Okay. We're waiting for all that to happen.
Right. Awesome. Well, you know, I want to thank you for your time and thank you for being an amazing guest.
Well, I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure. I've enjoyed it as well. It's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely. All right. That's it for today's show. Remember to live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. And I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.